Luke chapter 2. I want to speak to you today on this subject, mind your own business. I mentioned some of these things in part, and then I tell you that at a coming day, I will develop them, and that's what we want to do now. Yes, cut down the volume a little, please. I can hear it vibrating. So Luke chapter 2, Michael, and I'll read you several scriptures, and notice these references about minding your own business. Our Savior, when he was 12 years old, was taken to Jerusalem to the feast of the Passover, and when his parents are going home, they left him behind. And look at verse 46. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrow. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And the word literally is in the things of my father's, and so that's why he translated different ways. Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. And his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Now, let's turn to Mark chapter 10 and look at verse 35. And there come near unto him James and John, the sons of Zebedee, saying, Master, we would that you should do for us whatsoever we shall ask of thee. And he said unto them, What would you that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, We are able. And Jesus said unto them, The cup that I drink ye shall drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for them for whom it hath been prepared, and that he tells us of the Father. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be moved with indignation concerning James and John. So now, look at Luke 12, verse 13. And one out of the multitude said unto him, Master, did my brother divide the inheritance with me? But he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So now let's look at Mark 13. Verse 28. Now from the fig tree learn the parable. When the branch is now become tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know that summer is not. Even so ye also, when you see these things coming to pass, know that he is nigh, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things be accomplished. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, of that day or that hour knoweth no one, not even the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. and one verse in Acts chapter 1. Verse 6. Just before our Lord ascends to heaven, having spoken to them about the things of the kingdom of God, it says in verse 6, they therefore, when they were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath set within his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Let's speak God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the wonderful things that you teach us in the Scriptures, and we confess, our Father, that some of them are so strange. We pray that we shall not do away with them because they are strange and startling, but we shall accept them and be able to interpret them in the light of the Word of God as a whole. We thank you for all the things you tell us about your Son and about ourselves as well, to help us to know him better and ourselves better this day as well. We thank you for the opportunity to remember your Son. And now, having lifted up your Son to you, Father, as a sacrifice of a sweet savor, now, Father, we would take your Son and preach him to those who are here to learn about thy Son, the Lord Jesus. So by thy Spirit, may this be done acceptably in thy sight. We confess our sins, be faithfully just forgiven and cleansed, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Do you remember that verse? They made me keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. It's a good thing if the children of God know their own business, know what their business is and what their business is not. And so it was not an insult, but it was quite in order for me to entitle this message, Mind Your Own Business, because this is the will of God. You find some that have been given a business to attend to, but they neglect that business. It says, they made me keeper of the vineyard. That was the business of this individual. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. Are keeping all the vineyard, the own vineyard was neglected. And you will find the children of God paying to do what God has assigned them for their business, and on the contrary, meddling in the business of others that God has given them nothing to do with that business. That's why I read you the first verse. It was so strange when Mary and Joseph, who had taken the Lord Jesus to Jerusalem to the feast of the Passover, it was so strange for them to find him remaining 3 more days in Jerusalem after the feast was all over and they were gone home to get back to the ordinary things of life. It was so strange for them to find the Lord Jesus in the temple busy learning the Word of God. And they said, Son, how is it that you dealt with us this way? Your father and I saw you sorrowing. And he said to them, What? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Now, that is remarkable. The father has business for you to be about. And Jesus, when he was 12 years old, knew his father's business. Now let me ask you, you're older than 12. Do you know what the father's business is to you? It says when Christ ascended on high, he led captivity to captive, and he gave gifts unto men, and he gave some, and there were apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, And so he has given responsibility to us in his church. But do you know what that responsibility is? There are some such as Diotrephes, and God has never given them the preeminence, but they want to take that preeminence. And there are some such as Archippus, and he has failed in the business that God gave him to fulfill. This is what Paul has to say. And wouldn't it be interesting when Colossians was first read, and in this assembly is one named Archippus, and suddenly he is read out and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you receive in the Lord that you fulfill it. Mind your own business. And so there are some like Diotrephes that are quite prepared to take over all the business, to have the preeminence. And there are others who are gifted by God, like Archippus, and they fail in the responsibility to carry out the ministry which God has given them in the Lord. How sad. So it's a good thing to know what the business is that God has assigned to you and what is not your business. And the Lord Jesus, even at the expense and risk of insulting some, tell them what is not their business and what is not his business. Now, this is what is so startling, that there are some things that the Lord Jesus says, it is not my business. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Now listen, that's why I read them to you. I read them to you in Mark and in Luke, and I read them to you also from Luke chapter 2 at the age of 12. And when James and John come to the Savior and say, we want a special place. We want a place on your right hand and on your left hand. Listen to what the Lord says. He says, it is not mine to give. It's none of my business. Isn't that a startling thing? I thought the Lord Jesus was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus said, it is not mine to give. Accept that. You say, oh, he didn't mean that. He meant exactly what he said. Next. Here is a man that comes, and our Savior has been preaching, and as soon as the Savior stops, he comes up to him and he says, Master, did my brother divide the inheritance with me? And the Savior says to him, it's not my business. He said, who made me a judge or a divider over you? You say, but Jesus is the judge of all the earth. All judgment is given under the Son. He said, in this instance, God has not made me a judge or a divider over you. He says, that's none of my business. And also, and this is most startling, and Christians do everything in their power to escape it, but in telling about his coming again, when the kingdom is going to be established, he said, but of that day and hour, no man knoweth. He said, not the angels in heaven. He says, not the Son. You understand? The Savior said, it's not for me to know. So, even though our Savior is all in all, he says there are some things that God has not given me to assign. It's not up to me to say he's going to sit on my right hand and on my left. He said, that is the Father's business. It's not my business. And at the same time, there are some who have injustices experienced on earth, and they say to Jesus, I want you to straighten these out personally. The Lord Jesus says, it is not my business to judge or divide over you. And then there are some who say, I have to know every detail of prophecy. And the Lord Jesus said, you do. He said, it is not mine to know the day or the hour when the Father is going to establish the kingdom. And so that's startling. But listen again. That is why I read you in Acts chapter 1 when the disciples came to the Savior and they said, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it is not for you to know. Do you understand? So there are some things that God wants us to know, and there are some things that He does not want us to know. Let me give you another example. In John chapter 21, the Savior has told Peter what his destiny shall be. And having said that, He told Peter, follow me. And Peter looked and he saw John, the beloved disciple, coming and he said, Lord, what about that man? And the Savior said, if I will that he perish till I come, what is that to you? He said, you follow me. He told Peter, mind your own business. And so you want to know everything about me. Some of it isn't your business. I want to know everything about you. Some of it isn't any of your business. And there are some things that you want to improve in, and it's not your business. And there are some things that you should be doing, and you are not doing. And so, the title of the message, Mind Your Own Business, is an excellent title, because it means tend to your own business, and refrain from intruding in the business of others. Do you realize that three times in the Bible, it speaks about busybodies? Are you a busybody? It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 that some were so eager for the Lord to come that they had stopped working. And it says, since they had this free time, they were busybodies. I see. And at the same time, it said some women finally, who had a legitimate reason for not being with their husband, he had died, it said they learned to become idle and gossip and busybodies. So we have not only men in 2 Thessalonians 3, but we also have women in 1 Timothy 5. And there's one more also in 1 Peter chapter 4. And Peter tells his listeners, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a busybody, a meddler in other men's affairs. Now, isn't that remarkable? He says, you're not to be a busybody. You're to be busy, but you're not to be a busybody, and you're not to be, in your mind, taking care of my business, and I'm not to take care of yours. And the sad thing is this, that having heard that, we say, good, then I'm not going to do anything, I'm not going to attend to any business. That is all wrong. It says that we have to bear our own burden, and we have to bear one another's burden. So God has given us some things to do, and some things He told us that we are not to do. And what is so remarkable is that our Savior is aware of what was His business and what was not His business. And He would not be forced into attending to things that His Father had never assigned Him to attend to. And He was not embarrassed to tell people, this is none of my business. And also, He was not afraid to embarrass people that should be embarrassed in speaking plainly to them. What about this man? The Savior said, it's none of your business. If I will that he do this or that, that is up to me. What is that to you? And at the same time, when a young man comes and says, an injustice has been done, I want you to demand that my brother divide the inheritance with me. The Savior said, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? You would never think of Jesus speaking that way. You would say, that's rude. But at times, the Lord Jesus puts men in their places, and when He can, He will be as gracious. He will not censure, but says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gave it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If you lack knowledge and wisdom, and ask God, He will not say to you, you ignoramus, but He will not upbraid you. But if you presume, the Lord Jesus will put you in your place. If there are things that you should know that you do not know, the Lord Jesus said, how is it that you do not understand? Do you have your heart hardened? And so the Lord Jesus knows what is your business and what is not your business. And He knows what you should know, and He knows what you should not
No. And this is the beauty of all that I've read to you this morning, that our Lord Jesus was aware of the limitations that the Father placed upon him when God was manifest in the flesh. And most of those that are evangelicals err in this respect. Since Jesus is now God manifest in the flesh, they are determined to magnify the Godhead of Christ, whereas modernists are determined to magnify the humanity of the Lord Jesus. But both of them are true. And what I'm telling you this morning, understand this, that with all the limitations placed upon Jesus, it does not detract one whit from his deity. He is fully God. Remember that. When all of these limitations are given, he is still fully God. But when he speaks as the man Christ Jesus, and understand this, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It could just as easily have been said, the God Christ Jesus. But it's emphasizing his manhood. And so the Bible tells us some of the limitations of Christ incarnate. Understand, there were no limitations to the Lord Jesus before he became man. But when he became man, there were limitations. Not denying that he's God, but just showing that when the Word became flesh, there were limitations that you and I are not able to understand. And the Lord Jesus told us those limitations. Listen to this. In Luke 2:52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Have you ever heard of God increasing in wisdom? I thought God knew everything. You say, he does. It says Jesus increased in wisdom. That's not concerning his deity. He is omniscient. He knows everything. But in his humanity, joined, it says Jesus increased in wisdom. And that is what we have to understand. So whenever a limitation is spoken of concerning our Savior, it's not denying that he is fully God. It is simply bringing out a limitation that the Father placed upon him when he became man. And he tries to tell you those things. And for that reason, and this is so important, because I learned a little bit about the incarnation, and the incarnation means flesh, Christ in flesh. He who was with God and was God was made flesh. That's the incarnation, was becoming flesh. And when he became flesh, I and all have tried to comprehend this God manifest in the flesh, and you're not able to. But most of us presume to know exactly how God manifests in the flesh is going to live. And I say that's presumption. I know how you're going to live because you are flesh. I know how I'm going to live. I'm flesh. But when God is manifest in the flesh, how do you know that he's going to live? You say, well, he's going to live as God. How do you know that? How do you know he's not going to live as man? And would you listen to him and tell how he's going to live? The things that men have tried to do, most evangelicals, they're trying to make Jesus live as God manifest in the flesh. And that's the first temptation that Satan put to him. He says, you're the Son of God. You have no right to experience privation. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Listen to the first words of Jesus. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. How did he say he was going to live? He said, not as the Son of God, but as man. Satan tried to make Jesus the exempt Son. The Lord Jesus said, I and the dependent man. You see the mistake that you've made? Jesus told you. Satan tried that same temptation. He said, you are God manifest in the flesh. You are the Son of God. He said, live as God. Turn these stones into bread. Whoever heard of God lacking anything? And the Lord Jesus said, man
shall not live by bread alone.
Isn't that remarkable? And so, if you would not accept it from me, if you accept it from the lips of Jesus, how the God-man is going to live, he's going to live as man, as the dependent man. Now, understand this. Inasmuch as when he became flesh, God could have imparted all understanding to him at one time, but God said, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to let you day by day grow in your body, because it says he increased in wisdom and in stature. And who ever heard of the omnipresent God getting bigger? But Jesus, as a little baby, who was sustained by his mother's breast, the upholder of the universe, sustained by his mother's breast, it says he increased in stature. And also, he who knows the end from the beginning, it says he increased in wisdom. And so simply accept it. We are never denying that Jesus is not fully God, but when the Word was made flesh, these limitations are placed upon him, and that is why when the Jehovah's Witnesses come and tell you that Jesus isn't God, because he said, my Father is greater than I. Say, why, of course his Father is greater than he. And did you not know also that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels? Didn't you know that he was a little lower? When Jesus was made flesh, he was made a little lower than the angels in his humanity. And if you ask me, well, explain to me about the divinity and the humanity of Christ, I'm not able to explain to you about it. I can tell you this. I know that he who was with God and was God, the Word, was made flesh. He didn't cease to be God, but he was made flesh. I know that. And I know from Philippians chapter 2, it says that Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant. I know that. The Bible says he was made lower than the angels, and he took the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man. You say, well, the Bible tells us that. Why, of course. And that is why our Savior, who was infinitely rich, though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. Who would think of God manifesting the flesh going around in poverty? He who occupied the throne in heaven, saying, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You understand? And so, if the Son of Man has not where to lay his head, is he living as God, or is he living as man? You say he's living as man. And he told you that, and if the Father had chosen, he could have chosen him to live as God, as well as man. But he said concerning this, as he said concerning all other things, he said, even so, Father, it seems good in thy sight. And so the Lord Jesus knew about his limitations. And the Lord Jesus told of his limitations. And the Lord Jesus accepted of his limitations. He was keenly aware of them when he said this. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I sent in? How am I straightened until it be accomplished? He knew that these restraints were upon him until that baptism of Calvary occurred. And he said, how am I straightened? He's telling us again and again about these limitations. And therefore, the Lord Jesus was aware of the limitations. And before he left heaven, he knew what those limitations would be. And for that reason, when he came to earth, he knew that he who occupied the highest place in heaven would be born in a manger. And he accepted that. And he knew that he who had all wisdom would have to increase in wisdom. The Lord Jesus knew all of those things. So, our Savior accepted limitations. And having accepted those limitations,
went through life never being turned from those limitations, even by Satan, even by his closest companion. Satan said, turn these stones into bread. And Peter, when the Savior said, I have to go to Jerusalem to be crucified, Peter said, Lord, be it far from thee, this shall never be to thee. The Lord Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And so these experiences that God placed upon me, he said, these things are going to be my experiences, and God, who never slumbers nor sleeps, I'm going to know what it is to be weary and to go to sleep and not even be disturbed by a storm that is going on. And I, who feed the nation of Israel with manna from heaven, I'm going to have to go to a fig tree and see if I can find anything to eat on that fig tree. And I, who rain down showers from heaven, I'm going to have to ask a woman at the well of Samaria, give me a drink of water. And so, when the Savior left heaven, the Father said, this is my business, and I want you to attend to it. And the Lord Jesus said, yes, Father. He was not like that son to whom the Father said, son, go work a day in my vineyard. And he said, I go, sir. And he did not go. For then the Father said, who shall I send and who shall go for us? The Lord Jesus, in the words of Isaiah, said, here am I, send me. And the joy was this, that he never attended to any business that was not his business, and he never neglected any business that was his Father's business. That was his joy, and that was his glory in John 17. He said, Father, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. The only man that ever could say such a thing. How much of the business of God have you neglected? The Lord Jesus said, I finished everything you ever gave me to do. And how many of you have done completely the will of God? The Lord Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Father. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was one who minded his own business and did not attend to business that was not his. So let us follow his example. Let us mind our own business. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you, our God, for the example set by thy Son. We confess that his whole life was spent going about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And our Father, thou dost know that so often we go about as busy bodies, trying to take care of things that do not concern us, and so many things that we should do, we fail to do. You've made us keeper of the vineyard, and our own vineyard have we not kept. We pray that you shall forgive us our shortcomings, Father, and instill within us a desire to fulfill the business which you gave us to do. And whenever men would criticize us and misunderstand us, let us simply say in the words of your Son, what? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And so the King's business requires faith, and the Father's business requires taking care of, and let us be those, Father, who do your business. And let us take that exhortation to heart. No man on service entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So as soldiers, as servants, our God, let us be entangled not in the things of this life, but in the things of God that he could have us to carry out in this life. Help us to be those who mind our own business. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Be with us.